Storybound, written by Marissa Burt and read by Elizabeth Evans.
Chapter 1. Una often told herself that she was invisible. Perhaps that was the reason people passed her in the halls, their eyes skimming over her slight form as if she were part of the scenery. A desk, a book, a classroom, a girl. It could also be the reason why Miss McDonough, perched on her musty old pink chair, talked to her cats about Una as though Una wasn't there. "The girl sassed me today," she would say, or, "The girl is quite selfish and irresponsible." But Una didn't mind too much. The cats couldn't tease Una like the kids in the other foster homes had. There had been 5 foster families so far, and Miss McDonough's was the first where Una could actually be alone. Even at dinner, as they sat together at the long mahogany table, the surface polished to such a gleam that Una's big violet eyes looked back up at her. Even there, Miss McDonough never acknowledged her, and Una was left to her own imagination. It became Una's habit, on days that she felt especially invisible, to retire to the basement of the school library. Most students stayed on the main floor, grouped together at sunny tables, giggling over their math problems and English homework. But Una preferred the lower level, where she could sit undisturbed, except for the odd student scurrying down to get some reference book needed for a research paper. She would tuck into her favorite desk underneath one of the high basement windows, half daydreaming, half reading, while the minutes flew by, and she wondered what it would be like to live a different life. One autumn day, Una made her way down to this spot, humming off-key. She rounded the corner and stopped. There, at her desk, in her particular place, someone sat writing furiously. It looked like he was wearing the sort of costume she read about in her favorite fantasy novels. The hood of his cloak was pulled up, and it made a little point at the top. Una didn't mind that some other kid had decided to claim a spot in the library basement, except that it's my desk. She glanced at her watch. There was only 30 minutes left before her next class. She marched up to him and cleared her throat. The boy didn't even look up. She coughed louder. Either the boy couldn't hear or he was purposely ignoring her. "You're in my spot," she said pointedly. The boy kept writing. Una sighed. "It's not like I can lift him up and make him move." For a minute, she imagined what that would look like. Her hoisting the cloaked boy and tossing him to the side, a chorus of cheers applauding her. With one more glance at the occupied desk, she turned and left the row. She'd have to find a different spot for today. After all, there were plenty to choose from. But she was wrong. She peered down the next row. An identical brown hood bent low over the next desk, and the same across the aisle. Una threaded her way through the center rows of abandoned old periodicals. She passed musty shelf after musty shelf, and finally settled on a friendly-looking chair in a forgotten corner. Una fitted herself into the small space and scanned the nearby shelves. She knew the books in her old spot well, their Dewey decimal numbers reassuring in their sameness, 372.642 FHO through 402.3 GRI. These books were strangers, standing proudly with their battered covers stiff and thick. Una ran her fingers over the faded leather and cloth bindings. A sparkle caught her eye, and she slid some of the heavier volumes aside. There, as if it had fallen behind the front row of books, a scarlet volume lay hidden, its cover interworked with shimmers of silver. Una brushed off the thin layer of dust that muted the striking color and traced the leafy pattern.